Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Yo,
John.
How are you?
I tell you, John, I always feel relaxed when I see James Vickery's name.
Oh, I'm excited. Oh, I love him. Yeah, like everybody knows on the pod, you're a massive fan of his dulcet tones on the way to and from football.
Hello.
Yeah.
Oh, here he is.
Fuck. We're smiling at him. We shouldn't be.
No, a bit disrespectful after what I've been through.
Oh, do we need a whole pod on this?
Probably, yeah. Says,
are you scarred?
Mentally, physically, no.
Oh, bless you.
There's been some developments, though.
What did he look like? I'll deal with him. Or her.
What happened? Tell the world what happened.
Well, where do we start?
Oh, I know. We can't get into this. James is in the...
No, I know. Honestly, it may be the biggest thing that's ever happened to me. Because I've lived quite a sheltered life.
Okay, biggest. Okay, that could be, I guess, could be true. I've for some reason, I thought you said important.
No, I didn't. No.
Do you think you can talk about this in depth, sort of emotionally, within the next 7 days? Or do you think it's...
Absolutely. I think maybe it would be good to process. And there might be an end to the story by then as well.
Okay, Alfie was mugged.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, so James Vickery. Fuck. Yeah. I don't want to laugh about it.
It's quite funny that it was a child. That annoyed me.
Because we were thinking last night, Alfie. So for those listeners who don't know, me, Alfie and Ellis and a couple of others.
So James is... What is he now, John? Head of sport?
We could ask him, can't we? Yeah. I don't know his exact title, but I think he is head of sport for BBC Radio Devon now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Friend of the pod.
John's boss.
Well,
John's boss.
Yeah. I guess you could say. Mm. Yeah. Ooh. Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
It all works somehow.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Very well. How are you all?
I just said to John, when I see James's name on the calendar, I can relax.
Oh, well, you know I'm going to turn up.
Well, you're going to turn up. I'm in safe hands. Easy Street.
Oh, well, let's hope I don't disappoint.
Okay.
Is what I'll say.
How are you doing?
Yeah, really, really good. Sort of hit the new year feeling a little bit better about things ECFC related, but new year, slightly new job for me, but hitting the ground running.
Mm. Well, we were just saying, what is your job title now?
My job title now is I'm officially in charge of BBC Radio Devon Sport. So I'm the boss.
Big dog.
I'm in charge.
So does that mean no more early morning starts for you, James?
It does. It means that, I mean, it's going to take a little while before these bags under my eyes go. But, yeah, it doesn't mean getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning anymore.
How's that treating you?
Well, for the first 2 weeks of the new job, because I started just before Christmas, I was still getting up at 4 in the morning. So, yeah, my body clock didn't quite sort itself out, but I think I've just been so full on and knackered that I now sort of sleep from 11 through till 7.
Yeah. So, what are your hours now then?
Which is, it varies. I mean, you know, yesterday I sort of worked a 12-hour day because it was very busy going to see Argyle, going to see the City Boys, doing stuff with Torquay and doing stuff with Chiefs. Today, less so. So it's sort of self-scheduling, really. I know.
You're your own boss.
I know. It's I'm not used to this after.
And rightly so, James.
Oh, bless you. Yeah. And of course I have the old Saturday shifts where I come round to your place, David, and read the results to you while you're in the bath. So
how lovely.
Yeah,
it's great. Lovely, isn't it?
You make
the mental thing about that sentence is that it's actually true in a way. Yeah.
Honestly, that afternoon, I think I poured, was it a cup of tea? Maybe it was an early red one. I think it was a cup of tea. Cup of tea on the bath. News the day I was born.
Lovely.
James in my ear holes.
Yeah, that was it. You made me feel very welcome, very at home.
Honestly, James, I know I say it. I bloody love it. Oh, 2 o'clock on a Saturday and then whatever.
I think most people do. Oh. You're brilliant. It's great.
I don't know why you're good. I don't know what it is.
You guys sort of feel... I sort of feel as if I'm being setting up for a bit of a fall here.
No, that's what I'm thinking you're thinking, but I bloody love it. Oh, in fact, good, I got into the car last Saturday, and I think it was 20 to 2. I was like, oh, bloody hell, come on, get to 2.
Yeah, it feels like that. I mean, in all the years I've been doing it, so I've been presenting the show now for 15 years... Sort of that weird that you've picked out 20 to 2, because I often look at the clock and it's 20 to 2 and I think, I just want to get going now.
Yes.
I just want to know the Grecians have won at 5 o'clock and all is well in the world. That's all that matters.
How much build-up could you do? Could you go into BBC Radio Devon and say, we're starting at 10 now, where it's doing sport all through the...
We could do. We absolutely could do. There wouldn't be short of things to say about our clubs, would we? But I think some people might have something to say about that. But you know, it's possible.
Yeah,
possible.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great, and it's, as I say, it's always better when our teams are doing better.
Well, you say that. Is it? Because it can get nice and spicy.
Yeah,
and it's a bit of drama on a Saturday.
Yeah, we like it when there's drama. We love it when there's stuff going on to talk about. I mean, our friends down the road have just had a new manager, so that's been interesting. Torquay have been a bit up and down. Chiefs have sort of consistently been all right, but they haven't been without their troubles over the years. But it's for me as a City fan, it's very hard when things aren't going well for our club. So before Christmas, it was quite tough. And I seem to remember asking John a few difficult questions.
I remember that afternoon, John.
Yes, which I know has been.
Oh, yes, because we sort of want to get to the bottom of. We were listening to the last 3 seconds.
Yeah,
and we think John. We thought at first John was quite cool and just left it as, have a good Christmas. But now, after listening to it back, it sounds like he tried to say something again. And then he was sort off. Of, he was faded out.
Cut him off. I think I did. I did cut him off. You know, he's a
loop from the horse's mouth.
There we go.
He's a cannon. I've got to shut him up somehow.
Yeah.
I
thought you asked him some tricky questions, James.
It was tough. It was tough. You know,
we were going to.
Yeah. And that's the role of, you know, commentator, summariser, pundit. Those difficult questions are going to come. And at the time, you know, it was very hard to see where things were going to be turning around. And I think I maybe stupidly gone into it thinking, oh, Stevenage away. They're third in the table. We're just going to get absolutely pasted here. But John... The voice of reason said before the game, there's no reason why we suddenly can't go on a good run.
Yeah, I remember you went, really?
Yeah, I did. What? I did. We're not on the same wavelength here. But I was wrong to... Well, I mean, we didn't end up going on a great run, but we ended up getting a draw. So, you know, I always admire John's positivity.
Positivity.
See, for James, it's positivity because he's used to what most football fans are like. But for you guys, who are other normal thinking human beings, I seem pessimistic.
Very strange, isn't it?
Yeah, very strange.
So John's very happy-go-lucky as far as an Exeter fan goes.
He is. Yeah.
But he says he never wants to feel happy at football.
No, that's completely misconstrued words. But sure.
Sorry, that's what I got from it, John.
No, I said I am happy with what we have, which a lot of people aren't happy with.
But you said never go too high.
No, yeah. That, never but go that's too more, low. That's more of a professional standpoint.
Okay.
I think if you're like a regular fan, then yeah, go for it. You know, like go get high, get low, whatever you want. Feel how you want to feel. But I feel like in my household, getting too high or too low can lead to damaging decisions, emotions, and it's not the right thing to do. So I've just been taught that, you know, just stay level.
Emotionless.
Yeah.
Emotionless household.
You have to be to make decisions.
Yeah.
I think.
James, how low did you go?
How low did I go? Well, to the point where there were people I knew who were sort of what I would call floating listeners who occasionally sort of tune in. They're not, you know, football fans. They just tune in occasionally. And they always made a point of tuning in at 5 o'clock when I do the headlines. So this is what's happened today. And they could tell by my opening few words how Exeter had done. So
wow.
I think that was the point where I thought, oh, maybe I need to try and sort of distance myself here a little bit from my emotions of thinking, oh they've lost again, because for what we do on a countywide radio station, you still have to be as passionate about the other clubs as you are about your own. How low have I been? I think the lowest point for me as a football fan, I mean, my boys are now 7 and 5 and they've got season tickets for the big bank with my wife. They go every week. I think the lowest point for me is when they turned around to me earlier in the season and said, "Daddy, we don't want to go anymore."
Oh.
I think that it's that. Oh, it just feels like your heart's totally broken.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, they forget about it the next day, and the next day it's all, you know, when's the next home game? Can we go? You know, we'll be there with our season tickets. But that moment of, "Daddy, we've lost again. We really don't want to go anymore." That really cuts through you. Mm. It's a moment where you think, "Ah, okay. Now I've got to be the grown up here and tell them, try and guide them through."
Yeah.
Wow.
And where are you now? How are you feeling now?
Better. You know, it's all. I've spoken to Gary Caldwell, and I think he's a lovely guy. I've been in my new role. I've been going to the Cat and Fiddle, the Cliffhill training ground, more regularly. And even during the run that City were on, which was tough to be asking the same questions of how's it going to turn around, what went wrong. He always answered with a smile, and he always knew that we had to ask those questions. The managers that I've spoken to in the past, who you would think, how the heck am I going to even start this interview or get through this interview? Because
that makes me feel physically sick,
really?
Thought of having to do that.
Yeah, and Alfie, you know, a bit of a knot in the stomach sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because you think, ooh, okay, they're going to be tough. But Gary isn't like that. And every time I
at all, you don't get any of that from Gary.
No, I've never had any of that from Gary. He's always been very positive. He wants to sort of put across a positive vibe. Which is great. And every time I was at the Cat and Fiddle, even, you know, when it was turning into 6 games without a win, 7 games without a win, the squad all felt together. You know, they were smiling out there. And I think that's always a good sign. So I feel a lot better. And having spoken to Gary during the tough times, he always said in his, I've not seen it, but in his office, he has a picture of Wigan winning the FA Cup, along with a picture below of when Wigan got relegated. And that all happened within the space of a few weeks. And he said to me, and he said to the sort of media that were gathered, he said, "The reason I do that is that," a bit like what you said earlier, John, "you don't get too high when you win and you don't get too low when you lose. And those pictures are sort of a contrast of how high you can get and how low you can be."
Flipping love this bloke. He's like Gandhi.
Yeah, I like him. Gandy Caldwell.
Gandy Caldwell. Yeah.
You must have seen it as well, James. But you might not have done it. The training ground, they have like a collage of the season, so they have a photo for every game. Yeah. And it goes up if you've won or down if you've lost, or like it sort of goes in a like picture, so they've got the storyboard for the season and they know what, like, and that's why, you know, when that clip came out of them celebrating the win against Wickham, and everyone was like, oh, that's a bit strange, you're celebrating after losing 16 or not winning for 16, and that's why, because they take pictures and they try and remember every win to try and sort of inspire them when they come in. Lovely. To the training ground.
I'm loving this episode.
I felt really sad of the criticism that video got after the Wickham, because you could see what it meant to Gary and people like Kevin Miller, who were there as well, a brilliant Kevin Miller, fab guy, and the players. And you could see what it meant to collectively, for the first time in months, for the first time since the 26th of September, when we beat Luton, to win a game. You could see what it meant to them. And the stick that they got, I think, was unfortunate. And it made me a bit upset, actually, because I thought, here's a moment of celebration, and a real moment of celebration. The way we won that game with the penalty that should never have been a penalty that was saved from Ville. They had every right to celebrate like that. And I think it also shows the danger of social media, of, you know, the pile-on from people that are just a bit miserable.
Well, it didn't suit their storyline, did it?
No.
The people who wanted him out. They wanted him to keep losing.
I think Pierce did well to come out on social media. Then he sort of said, like, look, we can't win. We're players. We've just won for the first time. And you want us to win. And then when we over-celebrate, you have a go at us. Like, he was sort of indicating that they couldn't win. I think Pierce is spot on. I don't think they can win.
He used the phrase, give us a break. He said, give us a break, didn't he? And that entirely. Yeah, absolutely.
What I find embarrassing about what you just said, James, is that the last time we won was September the 26th. And I think the next game we played Northampton, and I left early because we weren't winning.
How early?
Well, the next game?
Yeah.
Oh, how early, David?
5 minutes early. We went 2-0 down at half.
Oh, I think that's...
No, it's not, because we were on an amazing run. And just because we weren't winning.
Do you know, I didn't realise that. I thought this was halfway through the run.
No, that was the first game.
Next game.
That was the first game of the losing streak.
You couldn't handle one loss.
Do you know what? I sat there going, oh, it's just typical, isn't it? We're on a run. I've been saying we're going to get promoted. Then we go and lose after Luton. Do you know what? I'm done.
Do you know what? I bet some of the players saw you walk out and that was the
start. It triggered it.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. David's walking out. Oh, God.
Yeah. I think, though, and I wasn't there, I was in the studio for that game, there'd been so much hype about beating Luton, and it was being on the Big Bank that day, first time we'd beaten Premier League, first time we'd beaten top flight since 1981. I've still got my granddad's football programmes of that season that he left me after he died. Look, there was just such a hype. It just felt that it just, like a balloon, had just been popped.
Yes.
But it was also the performance with the Northampton game. You never felt... that City, I mean, this is what I've been told, you never felt that City were really in it.
No.
It was a bit of a...
Attitude stunk.
Yeah, we beat Luton. What
Your
do
attitude
we do now?
Stunk.
I would forgive you for leaving 5 minutes early.
Really? I felt really embarrassed. Halfway down the steps, I felt so embarrassed. I couldn't sort of reverse.
You could have gone back up.
I've never left a game early.
Me neither, James.
I never will again. Nah. Never going to do it again. Learning. I'm learning on the job.
That is embarrassing. I was embarrassed to be your friend that day. It really was.
And I took my boys. And my boys.
The trouble.
Poor little boys. They were going, no, we need to stay and see it out.
No, we don't. No. Their attitude stinks this afternoon.
You can't leave with any dignity if you're leaving sort of on your own early, because everyone can see you.
So embarrassing.
Were you the only one leaving? Were you the only one leaving, or was there anyone else?
Yeah, more or less.
That's so terribly shit. That shit.
Do you know what?
So
that
bad.
Afternoon, I was getting pissed off that people are on their phones. It's like, what's the bloody game?
Yeah.
I was in a right up
thing. At least they were there.
What's the bloody game?
there's nothing better if you're an away fan and you're at an away game and City are like winning 2-3 nil and they go and score like a second or third goal. There is nothing better when you see the home fans start to leave.
Right. Yeah, right.
You know, that
Northampton got that from it because I was right by the Northampton end.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I had to go down and there we go. Yeah.
To
all
you?
Sorts of singing cheerio, yeah. Cheerio, cheerio.
They were.
I mean, not. Well, I was right by them. So, God. You know, I was 20 yards away. I just cut my head down, went for it.
And you thought it was all at you?
Well, not all at me.
They're chanting at me, boys. They're chanting at me, boys.
Take one for the team, David.
Yeah. Me again. I just think if you leave the best moments ever in football are in the last 5 minutes when you're 2-0 down and you get it back to 3-2. And
have you ever left early, Alfie?
No.
James, do you remember the Oval game a few seasons ago where we were 3-0 down with like 4 minutes to go and we drew 3-3 or something?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I remember Ipswich went down once. It was two all in like the 90+4 against Coventry. Everyone left. I stayed and I got to see Pablo Caniago dink the keeper in 90+6.
Oh, wonderful.
Incredible.
What a name, by the way.
Incredible. Am I the only person here that's left early?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're there. Yeah. You're a weirdo.
Yeah.
Or maybe I've got stuff going on at home, John.
Gee. Yeah. Think of the bigger picture.
Just be careful.
Bigger picture, son.
Just be careful, son.
Everyone has a
reason. Don't think this, if you've got stuff going on at home, surely you don't want to go home. Surely you want to stay at the football.
Who said I went home? Little chef.
Little chef.
An Olympic breakfast.
A little chef still a thing?
Don't know.
Well, that's showing your age.
Sadly, they're no more, along with happy eaters. They're long gone. I tell you that the time it backfired most... City were playing Torquay, playoff semi-final, and we were already 2-1 down from the first leg. We'd all traipsed down to Plainmoor thinking, oh, this is going to be a nightmare. One of our former players then became their manager, Paul Buckle. So there was a lot on the game. And I don't know if you were there that day, John, but we, on the second leg at Plainmoor, we went 1-0 down. So on aggregate, we were 3-1 down and we've got 20 minutes to go. And I'm at the front of the away end with my then girlfriend, now my wife. And I just said, shall we go? You know, this is embarrassing. You know, we're 3-1 down, 20 minutes to go. City were doing nothing, absolutely nothing in the game. And your nearest and dearest rivals, nightmare. She said, no, we can't leave. Can't leave. And there were people leaving around us. When 20 minutes left, we get a goal back and then we go on to win that game 4-1, 5-3 on aggregate. And it was the greatest comeback, I think, maybe with the exception of Yeovil. But what was on the game was a place in the playoff final, which we then went to play Cambridge and then we won.
Oh, that comeback is definitely better than Yeovil. That Richard Logan... flick on. Oh, everything about that game is just unreal. I literally watch it religiously all the time. It's so good.
And there's people who have said, well, I left. I didn't see it.
Yeah, yeah. And they were...
You're really keeping on with this theme.
It's not over to the final whistle.
No.
You just don't know in football. And the amount of times a team gets...
You're doing it again, James.
Yeah, I'm just going to really rub this one in, properly rub it in. The amount of times a team get a goal back and then they get a second wind and then it's unbelievable.
Mm. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So stop being a brat and stop leaving early. Cheers.
That was September what? Or start of October.
Probably beginning of October.
3.5 months ago.
Yeah.
You're a changed man.
Yeah. Have you changed?
I don't think you have.
Three
months? Am I going to leave early?
I think if we were 4-0 down at halftime, you would leave early.
Okay, if we had never brought it up and said, no, it's fine if you leave early.
I've had moments where I've had some terrible Saturdays in the last 3 months and I've stuck.
But is that because you were held accountable by others or have you done that yourself?
Potentially.
No, definitely, not potentially. Yes. Yes, you were. You were sat there thinking, I want to go, but if I go again...
Well, don't you all sit there and go,
I'll never hear the
end of this.
I've never, ever sat at a football game or stood at a football game and gone, I want to leave.
I have.
Have you ever wanted to be there, John?
Very good question. I'll have to
ask. Just in the middle
that.
All the time. It's easy for you.
I sat there. You were just like that. No clapping. Nothing.
Because, yeah, what is the point?
People clap unnecessarily. Sometimes you should only clap things that warrant a clap. Don't clap someone for making a 5-yard pass down the line. That doesn't warrant a clap. Just because you've progressed up the pitch, that should happen.
Imagine watching the game next Saturday and you're sat next to John and you're like, fucking hell, I can't enjoy this now.
Yeah, I'll be well, clap. Yeah.
Some Exeter City fans might be stood next to me because I'll be at Blackpool on Saturday. So
ooh. I will see you there. We're making indeed. The long Get trip him. To Blackpool as a family.
Love that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
My boys, who are now football mad, and I'm very lucky because my wife is also football mad, and that's sort of how we met through football. We used to both be big bankers and, you know, gave each other the eye sort of thing.
The big bank. David, that was one of your questions. And John said it would never happen.
What's that?
One of my questions was, well, that, have you fancied another supporter?
My wife.
Oh, John. Wow. Best hope for you yet.
Yeah.
That's is actually so beautiful.
Not that there's anything wrong with it, but I wouldn't want to get married to someone that's into football. I think I need something, I need a little bit more of an escape.
How near was she to you?
Well, we knew of each other through friends of friends, but we used to sort of stand separately. So I used to stand with my nan and my dad and my brother, and Charlotte used to stand with her brother and another and her mum on the big bank, and we sort of knew of each other but not, and you know, occasionally when we bumped into each other it'd be oh hello and all of that, and then the rest, as they say, is history. And that's 20 years ago now.
That's
been together 20 years.
So you're both just looking forward to a Saturday where you can go and watch a game together with the family.
Yeah, listen, Charlotte whispers things in my ears like, Blackpool away. And I'm like, oh, nice. Yes. Yes, please.
I'm going to listen to that back on loop.
So I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky.
So how long will that trek take on Saturday? Is that like a 5-hour?
It's about 5 hours from here.
Do you stay up there or do you?
Yeah, we're staying up for the weekend, making a bit of a weekend of it. But my boys at the start of each season will sort of target a few games, away games that they really want to get to, because they want to do the EFL 92. Mm. So they want to get to all of the Premier League, all of the Football League clubs in double quick time. I think I've worked out I'm at about 45 grounds. Oscar, my eldest, is already up at about 15.
No way.
So that's and he went to Ipswich, Alfie, last
did he
season.
What did he think?
Didn't think much of the 6-0 defeat, but he loved the ground.
Oh, that's nice. I did forget about the score, sorry.
He's got a real thing about old style football grounds.
Yeah, so, Portman Road is like that. Yeah.
Absolutely. I've never been and always wanted to go. So he's and I'm not quite sure that Ipswich and City will be playing each other anytime soon. So,
You never know.
Playoffs
are still on for both of us.
No, I think that's a pretty comfortable bet.
I'm not going to put my house on it, but...
James, but, yeah. When we were going through the tricky period...
Yeah.
Which hopefully we're out of now. How much pressure did you have from, like, friends and family who were into Exeter for you to, you know, you had to have a balanced...
Yeah, it was hard because I obviously know people that were very much in the our manager's got to go camp, and a bit like the BBC. I also knew people that were very much in the our manager has to stay, because what alternative have we got? But I think for me, what was really interesting is sort of hearing the views as to why people felt the way that they did. And I think, you know, you see sometimes football managers, they get sacked because a team have lost 5 or 6 in a row. And you think, oh, they had so much more to give. You know, what if he'd stayed and turned it around? And sometimes, you know, people come in and they have an absolute nightmare and you just know it's never going to work. Wayne Rooney, for example, at Birmingham City, that was always set up in such a way that he was never going to win that situation. You know, the old manager had been moved aside. Rooney was brought in. I was at the first game home. Bizarrely, I was at Birmingham City for the first home game for Rooney, because the night before we'd lost a derby during half term, and my boys wanted to go and watch Jay Stansfield play. So we went to Birmingham, and the atmosphere on the first home game for Rooney, even before a ball had been kicked, was not good. And I thought this, even then, and he'd had an away game where I think they'd drawn, and it was the first home game, and they'd lost that to Hull City. I think it was 2-0, if I remember. Even sometimes, you know, with a manager, this ain't going to work. This is not going to end well. And we were waiting for Jay outside of St Andrews to sort of get a nice picture with him. And he was lovely, really lovely, always lovely lad. But there were fans there talking to us that were already in the Rooney out camp. And that was two games in. So you sometimes with a manager, you know, this is regardless of what he or she does, it's not going to end well. Whereas with Caldwell, Gary Caldwell, I think, well, he's had some really bad luck with injuries. You know, Demi Mitchell gone, you know, really unfortunate. Ryan Trevitt now gone, really unfortunate with some of the injuries. Some of the games I was watching, Wigan at home in the league, I mean, we had like 25 shots and the ball just didn't go in the net. You know, it wasn't as if we were watching really crap football every week. Sometimes it was. Let's not talk about Bolton. Let's not talk about Derby away. Sometimes it was awful. But on other occasions, there was a lot of hope there. And in some ways, I think, you know, this is Gary's time now to prove the doubters wrong and prove the people and prove to the people that stuck by him that they made the right decision.
Yeah, I think this little period now, well, not this little period, but from now on, it is make or break. If it goes into another horrible period, I don't know how lenient people are going to be. But like you said, I think if he could get us playing the way we were at the start of the season, I think he'll be fine.
The thing that I don't understand is, and this is why I genuinely believe it's right to stick with it, the majority of players on the pitch haven't changed, with the exception of Demi Mitchell. You know, Nombe played at Wickham, but he didn't play for a lot of that time. We were still winning. So you don't suddenly go from an amazing team, top of the league, that were winning games and oozing confidence to a side that are not doing it for, you know, without there being reasons behind it.
I think teams found out how to play against us, didn't they? And they sort of learnt to isolate players. As soon as Demi Mitchell couldn't get into games and stuff like that, we were really, really not struggling, but you know, that Leighton Orient game sticks out to me. We were weak in terms of we had Jake Richards starting, which is, you know, obviously never what you want, especially given his age.
No.
I think Leighton Orient set up perfectly, didn't they? They sat deep. They gave us a lot of the ball, and I think we're better when we don't have as much of the ball, when teams have got the ball and we can press them and try win it back high up the pitch. So I think teams just learned how to play against us, and Gary sort of struggled to find a way to not have the ball, because teams were letting us have it because they knew that we were weaker with it. But yes, yeah,
we looked panicky.
Yeah.
How much with your position, James, how much transfer gossip do you hear? Like, what nuggets do you hear? Because John hears loads.
Mm. I hear loads.
I don't hear loads.
Most of it, if you look on X, formerly Twitter, is stuff that's being fueled by the message boards, I find. And what was really funny, not necessarily with City transfer, but when Stephen Schumacher had just left Argyle, within the first day, someone on Twitter had seen managerial lookalikes in the local Morrisons about potential people that can... Oh, I saw Paul Cook buying a sandwich in the Morrisons just up the road from Argyle, so it's got to be him.
Yeah.
And you see nonsense like that. And I find with social media, it just breeds and breeds and breeds. People retweet, people lump on. And in terms of what I'm privy to... I'm not privy to
it. It really is.
I'm not.
You are a little bit, aren't you?
A tiny bit. So, for example, I knew about Ben Purrington on the day, so not long before it was announced, but the club, Craig and Scott, who were brilliant, knew it was sort of within the club's interest of, okay, if, well, BBC Radio Devon come along and do an interview, that's ready to go when we release Under Embargo. So then, you know, you get your Exeter City content on the radio. So it's working with the clubs. I mean, I don't, you know, so that was lovely. But I'm not tipped off that far ahead of time. I might get a few hours if I'm lucky.
What do you think of that, Alfie, in relation to our podcast and us not getting tipped off? And
what do I? Am
do
I?
Do you think we should be tipped off?
Yes.
Do you feel like there's a lack of respect from the club towards the.
I feel as though, well, do I want to say lack of respect on record? I'm thinking it, but I'm not going to say it. I think that,
yeah.
I think if there's certain people in the call who know things that myself and David might be interested in and feel very powerful knowing before everybody else, I would like that to be made, to be brought to my attention, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say that I give you a call when I get a call, that sort of thing.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, listen, with Ben Purrington, he was at St. James Park. So if there had been any fan hanging around going to the club shop, they would have seen him there and they would have known. But I do wonder sometimes with signings, and not just with Exeter, I mean, how big a deal is it? Like, the news is going to come out at some point, you know? But I know, like, things have to be sort of commercially sensitive and things end up having to be signed and deals and stuff like that. But sometimes there's no smoke without fire when you see stuff on XWeb or you see stuff on Twitter or whatever. I mean, but sometimes just because there's been a lookalike in Morrison's buying a sandwich,
yeah,
that sort of thing, just like, nah. Nah,
well,
no.
Marcus,
when did
our,
you hear about Ben Purrington, John?
Probably 5 minutes before it was announced.
What?
Let's check WhatsApp.
Oh, yes, because I obviously didn't have my phone on me, so I couldn't get any of this gossip.
No, the announcement came out with a cat, and it went, this is a, well, I don't know what, there was a pun in there somewhere, and I just...
Purr.
Perfect, yeah, so then I just... did a little bit of research.
And what
but
was that?
Marcus
messaged Gary.
Ha ha ha, that's funny.
that was a genuine question.
Why would I message Gary? Anyway,
I'm wondering what research he did. Sorry,
Marcus,
mate.
Listened to our transfer episode and he texted me yesterday.
Ooh.
That's all I'll say.
What's that mean?
He just loves, like, having a weird teasing fetish over us.
No, I'm just saying, you guys weren't like sure whether he listened or not, and I'm just saying he listened to the last.
What did he text you?
He listened to the Triple C episode. That's all I'll say.
And he texted you about someone we were talking about.
Yes.
No.
What?
Not to say that we were signing them or anything, but just to say that, you know.
Did he sort
noted?
Of
they know that he knew who he was.
So you're saying we facilitated a transfer?
No, he's probably the person that we were talking about is probably not going to come in. But he was just saying, yeah, I'm aware of the player that he said. He said he'd
so
be
if that player comes in, do we get a percentage?
Oh, you can have whatever you want. You can have 100%.
Has Eddie already looked at the player? Was he on his...
He said, his exact words to me were, if we hadn't known about this player, we'd be pretty shit at our jobs, or crap at our jobs, or something along those lines.
So thank you. So thank you for bringing him to our attention.
So thank you, and we'll be bringing him in now.
Are we talking about Triple C?
Potentially.
CCC?
Going to Swansea?
Why would Marcus facilitate his transfer to Swansea?
No, he is going to Swansea, isn't he?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, what? No,
I think so.
How would you know that?
Oh!
You're not in... You like to figure in the know, and you're not in the know.
Oh, I'd love it.
That doesn't taste so good, does it?
Imagine
John?
If you did... I don't care.
Oh, really? Your face says otherwise.
Basically, James, for a bit of context, there's a player that I love from the National League. He plays at Altrincham, which is like probably my closest team in Manchester, maybe by Man City, but I'm not going to go watch them. And he's called Chris Conn-Clarke. He's got an amazing name. Christopher Conn-Clarke is his full name. He is unbelievable in the conference, like really, really good. Would fit perfectly in one of our 10 roles. But one of the division's top goal scorers. He's lovely, small, aggressive, stroppy, perfect.
I'm just looking him up.
Christopher Conn-Clarke. The Conn-Clarke is sort of hyphenated.
Oh, triple C.
He didn't follow any of us back.
No.
Oh.
That's the ego we want, though. That's the ego we want in a forward.
Yeah.
I'll send him a message.
Trying to sense if you're bored.
Oh god.
You just want to get it over and done with.
I don't know how this is gonna go down with City fans, but I don't mind Argyle. I've got lots of mates who are Argyle fans because, you know, working at BBC Radio Devon with studios in Exeter, studios in Plymouth, know lots of people in Plymouth, massive Argyle fans, some really well-known Argyle fans over the years and people that just go along now as well. So I don't mind them. They've always been very friendly to me. Obviously, if it's a Devon derby, I don't want Argyle to beat City, but I still need to remain straight down the middle. But I think any Argyle fan listening would know my allegiance.
Yeah. A bit bored having to do their news? Because when it goes to their news, I'm like, boring.
Oh no, never bored. my job is to make everything sound entertaining.
Yeah. And you do a brilliant job.
I've got more, obviously, I know more about the City players. I know more about the club at City. But, you know, I don't mind Argyle. I don't mind Torquay. I like the Chiefs. But it's... whenever there've been a Devon derby, I mean, we spoke earlier about games you wanted to leave early from. I was presenting years ago and Argyle had come up and they were absolutely thrashing us. You know, and we lost 2-0. And I just couldn't wait to get out of SJP. It was horrible. It was horrible in every way. Yeah. But do I get bored? No, I don't get bored.
I don't think so.
I'll tell you what I really think when we've stopped recording.
What you did, James, a couple of Saturdays ago, which properly wound me up.
Ooh,
you said,
what did I do?
You said, I don't know if it's Stephen Schumacher or maybe it was someone you had to go to at Plymouth. They weren't ready.
We
were going over to Exeter. And you said, I'm really sorry, I've just got to warn you, if Plymouth are available, then we're going to have to cut Exeter off and jump straight over to Home Park.
Did that wind you up? Well, I sort of said that because I like being up front.
Sloshing around in the bath.
Another shot of
lovely.
Wine. Down. I said that because in the past, I've been accused of being rude and cutting people off. But the nature of sort of sport broadcasting is that you go to where the action is. And if we've got a live line across the press conference at Home Park and it comes in, I think as long as the listeners know that there's a chance that I might have to, because then you sort of go on X-Web, oh, he bloody cut City off to go to Argyle again sort of thing. That's the sort of thing.
They take top billing then. They're top billing.
No. If Super Gary Caldwell was talking to us live, I would have done the same with them.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So but, it's whoever's live.
Yeah, I mean, it's without going into the ins and outs and boring you all about how it works, we've got a facility to get a live interview from Argyle. It's a bit more tricky at SJP to do that. But we can do that, and we always want to be first with the reaction, really, which is what we try and do. So in the past where I've axed people like John and whacked their fader down,
sounds naughty
to get them off, as it were. I won't talk to you about the phrase fader wanking, but
please do.
We'll move. It's a thing used in radio where I'm going to use some very visual here, but if you sort of riding, as they call a bed or music jingle. Mm. You sort of move up and down very quickly with your hands, shall we say.
This is lovely.
It is known in the phrase as fader wanking.
Wow. Oh, yes.
Lovely.
Chris Moyles used to do that a lot.
Yes,
bring
he
the
did.
Music down, do a bit of blah, 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 and then bring it up. And
bring it back up again.
Oh, so that's fader wanking.
Fader wanking, which is different to fader axing, which is what John and I do together. Wanking. Very much so.
Oh, but dear.
I'm sorry I annoyed you, David. That wasn't my intention.
No, you didn't. I understood. I was so excited. I think we'd won. We got a decent result. I'm like, I don't want to go over the bloody hell.
Yeah, no, it was the Carlisle game. And Argyle had beaten Sutton in the cup.
Yes.
Which is sort of what they expected to do. But the story really was at City, the fact that they'd beaten, you know, a team in the relegation zone and pulled out of the relegation zone. So, yeah, we do try and go to where the story is.
Where do you think City will end up?
This season?
Yeah.
Oh, John, yeah.
Do you want me to take my headphones out and you can give an honest answer?
Oh, you're not... Oh.
My thought is, are there four worse teams than City in the division? And the overwhelming answer to that is yes. But I think at one point we were I know it sounds stupid saying it because it's obvious, because if you're in the bottom four, you are one of the worst four teams. But I think when you look at infrastructure, when you look at the way the club is run, City are not bottom four. I think we'll probably end up 17th.
Take that. If you could offer me that right now, I'd slap your hand off, stop the pod, have a summer break, done. Cheers. I'd slap your hand off.
Yeah, I'd whack your fader down.
And up and down.
Quickly.
Totally up to you.
I can't see us I think what we'll do from here is we'll have some really good results, lose a couple, draw a few, then I don't think we'll go, I hope I'm not tempting fate, I don't think we'll go on a horrible run where we don't like winning 15, 16. But I think we've got some really tough games coming up. You know, we've played some of the sides around us now. Blackpool, for example, Saturday, really hard. Got some teams like Bristol Rovers coming up. They're sort of riding a bit of a crest of a wave under Matt Taylor at the moment.
They've got to come to us.
Well, we've got to play them both home and away within the space of like 3 weeks. Mm.
So we've got to play them pretty soon, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, no game's easy in League One. I don't think we'll go down. I think we're better than that. I think we've just been unlucky. But I think we are a little bit light in our squad at the moment. And by the nature of players coming in, it takes them a little while to gel. So everyone was thinking, right, 1st of January, things are going to be different. You know, players are going to be brought in, but it takes time. You don't just suddenly become a brilliant team again. You've all got to get to know each other. So 16th, 17th, I think I'd be happy with.
Good striker. That's all we're missing. Good striker.
Have you heard of any strikers coming in, John?
Nope.
I tried to really get you then. What's he asking?
Off the cuff.
A guy called...
Mind games.
I genuinely think we are just not even a good striker, just someone, a goal scorer, a little tapperino who can sit in
one
a six-yard box.
One or two, John.
Two.
Yeah, we need to strengthen. Although I think Gary's finding it tough. I spoke to him yesterday and we sort of directly said to him, you know, great that Barrington's come in, you know, experienced player. He said on the record, so I'm not sort of breaking any confidences here, he said on the record, you know, some of the signings we will be making will be more inexperienced players who need some more experienced heads around them. So Parrington, he's 20, 27, 29. You know, he's played for Argyle, Charlton. Who else has he played for? Ross County, teams like that, experience. So he's trying to get the balance of the squad right again. But when we then pushed him and said about a striker, are you close to a striker coming in? He just said no.
Would he be playing games with you, James, there?
Ooh. Say again?
Would he play games with you there, James? Is that a typical manager response?
No, I find Gary to be very honest.
Right. So you're getting more information from Gary, the heart of the club, than we are from John.
He's allowed to say what he wants.
You're more guarded than Gary.
He's allowed to say what he wants. He's the manager.
I think what the club have learned over the last few months is transparency is really important. If you become guarded when people say to you, have you got a striker? And you say, yeah, there'll be one coming in. It doesn't happen. It's going to backfire.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen
to that. I totally agree.
Exactly. So when you ask me, David, oh, are we bringing in a striker? And I'm like,
transparent.
I don't know.
Transparency.
But I don't know. It's being transparent. And you have a go at me. But then James comes along and he's the voice of reason all of a sudden.
Well, I don't think this is not me having a go at you, John, at all.
I promise you it's not. It definitely is.
I don't think Gary, right, went no and then winked and smiled and put his hands in the air like this to James. I think he just said no.
I don't do that. Didn't do that.
You claim that I do that. I laugh because you
we've got
think
the footage. We've got the footage, mate.
We have got some footage.
Go on then. Post if you find a footage of me winking, you can post it.
Okay. Fader winking.
I'll try and get one of John winking at Blackpool tomorrow. That's what I'll try and do.
Yeah. James, BMX. Thank you so much for coming on this week.
It's a pleasure as always, guys.
Please come on again.
Yeah, please, please, please.
Anytime.
Yeah, really?
Anytime. Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
We'll have you on tomorrow then. Cheers.
Listen, it would be great to get you guys on BBC Ready Devon sometime.
Do you know what, James? You wouldn't want this. I just said, I'd love to sit on a little swivel chair and just watch you do it.
Sorry. Oh, yeah.
We can make that happen.
We'll watch you do it. Yeah, lovely.
We'll make that happen.
Honestly, just on. Fader wanking galore.
Yeah, that would be amazing to see you at work.
I bet you look, you're just like bang, bang, buttons, bang. Oh, I'd love to see it.
Oh, yeah. It is. I'm told it's a work of art for someone that's done it for, you know, so long. It's just, you know, it comes naturally. I'm not saying that, with a big head, but
no, it must. How long does it? Final question. How long does it take to get to a point where you're comfortable behind that desk doing your thing?
15 years.
Are you serious?
Well, I don't think, you know, even now. Like, I'm entirely comfortable because there are always variables with stuff. You know, there's always that little bit of, you know, nervousness. There's always that little bit of adrenaline that still pumps because you're never quite sure. You're never too far away from a line going down and having to fill for 20 minutes talking about random games elsewhere when you're reading off the BBC Sport video printer.
But you're confident, though, enough to know that you can fill that time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. So it takes a while. Yeah. It takes a while, but it's. They say it's like riding a bike. That when you know you don't really forget what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sort of at the controls of the cockpit.
Well, thank you, James, and thank you for making 2 till 6 superb on a Saturday.
It's a pleasure. An absolute pleasure.
Brilliant. Thank you, mate.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Cheers.
I hope that was all right. Nice to meet you.
That was great.
Great to meet you.